Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Too busy is the title of tonight's message. We're just too busy many times. We have all manner of modern conveniences that have accelerated life, because now tasks that would take much longer to do are done by a machine. And instead of using that time to slow down, we fill it with more projects. And life actually gets faster and more complicated. We used to be able to drop something in the mail and be able to say, it's in the mail. Now it's in the fax machine. Or it's in the email. Or it's a text. Or on and on and on. We are the only nation on the face of this earth that has a mountain called Rushmore. Our lives are busy. And you drive down the road, it's not fast enough that you're going 55. Somebody's got to be on your bumper. Isn't it amazing that God spoke of impatience thousands of years ago, and we're still impatient today at accelerated life? It really speaks much about the human nature. We aren't going to be satisfied, no matter how fast we go. Busy, busy, busy. True story, on June 4th, 2001, 12-year-old Little League pitcher Robert Knight pitched the game of his life as batter after batter came to the plate for the opposing team in suburban Detroit. Each player did his best to make his parents proud. Each tried and failed again and again to hit a pitch off the 5-foot-3-inch, 100-pound Robert Knight. Knight threw a perfect game. A perfect game. All 18 batters he faced in the 6-inning game struck out. The final batter to face Knight had worked the count to 3-0, but Knight came back to strike him out as well. I could tell the other team didn't really want to come up to bat anymore after a while, said Mr. Perfect. As the last strike was called, everyone from Knight's team ran out and celebrated with him. Parents clapped and yelled, but not Knight's parents. They were not at the game. It's not that they didn't care. Robert's dad had driven his other son to another game, and his mom was at a softball game of her own down the street. When Mrs. Knight did arrive to pick up her son, Robert's coach told her, this wasn't the game for you to miss. Too busy. Too busy. Listen, even as Christians in our Christian service, we can get so busy, we forget the whole goal. We can become so project-oriented, we forget people. What's it all about? Did you know God did not put us here for the good life? He put us here for service. Our rest is yet to come. We are to be finding a balance in life, and we're going to talk about that. But we can get so busy. Projects are a part of life, but they must never replace people. Once a pastor said, people do not care what you know until they know that you care. Do you care? Are you so busy? Busy, busy, busy. Jesus cared about people. God cared about people. He sent his son to die. People. I really believe that this busyness actually is a ploy of the devil to affect us in many ways, to frustrate us, to cause us to get too busy that we can't really care. A gentleman by the name of Donald Hall wrote, for weeks after my last operation for cancer, frail and without energy, sleeping 10 hours, I looked in my house at all the books I had not read and wept for my inability to read them. Or I looked at great books I had read too quickly in my avidity, telling myself I would return to them later. There is never a later. But for most of my life, I have believed in later. Too busy. God intends us to have a balanced life. Look on your verse sheet there in Mark chapter 6, verse 31. And he, Jesus, said unto them, the disciples, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. The disciples were very busy. Can you picture the scene? There the disciples were with Christ, and the people were all around, many coming and going, and it must have been so long, it says there was not even a time to be able to take a lunch break. There's a time to be busy. But do you notice the key? They were busy about people. There were so many coming and going, no leisure so much as to eat. And can you picture this as they are interacting with these people, giving of themselves? Sometimes we don't think that that's tiring. I'll bet they were tired, and then they couldn't eat on top of that. Christ had compassion on those disciples, and look what he said in the next verse, chapter 6, verse 32. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto them. They went on vacation, and the crowd went with them. Here Christ says, come on, let's get away from the busyness of life. And the crowd meets them there when they got off the ship from all over. Oh, Lord, there are times that Christian life is going to be busy. We must make it busy about people. There's a balance because projects involve people. In the demands of the believer's life, we must still find time to be quiet with the Lord. This life is going to pass. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. This is what matters. We will be busy at times, and time goes quickly. And the older I get, the more I experience it. And I've had other people tell me, the older they get, the faster time goes. We must make our minutes and days count. We have to prioritize our to-do list. There are honestly times I take my to-do list and I finally just hit delete. It's been too long. It's like, I'll get to it. And I finally just say, you know what? That discourages me. Delete. I can't look at it anymore. I feel defeated almost. Delete. 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 It's not that they don't have some value to them. I'm made of the dust of the ground. There's only so much I can get done. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. There is to be rest and joy in the Christian life. We're not supposed to walk around frazzled and crazed. I will give you rest. But too often, what's our rest like? Do you ever see a marathoner? And they sprint past the water station. They grab the cup. They throw it down. They pitch it in the general direction of a trash can and keep going. Thinks too many times we're so busy. So busy. A lot of people are thankful for recorded TV. They can record 60 minutes and watch it in 30. We're too busy to watch it in 60 minutes. Psalm 46:10. Be still. Be still. There was a time when the disciples had so many coming and going, there was no leisure so much as to eat. And yet there is the biblical admonition, find time to be still. Turn off the music. Get away from the distractions. Learn to say no. And if they get mad, oh well. Because we're made of the dust of the ground. And we can only do so much. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in earth, provided you live this crazed life and do it for me. Folks, it's not about us, it's about God. Yes, the disciples had to apply themselves to the people coming and going, but fundamentally, it's all about God. If he doesn't put his hand of blessing on our efforts, it's worthless. We must have time to be still. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still. My wife shared this with the women. Wouldn't it be great if there were a class that you could take and it would teach you everything you needed to know and it provided all the answers to your problems? There is such a course. The teacher loves to meet one-on-one with each student. He tailors the course to each student's needs. He holds classes at the student's convenience, and he makes himself available 24/7. The teacher is God, and the course is called Daily Devotions, Quiet Time with Him. God's waiting for you to be quiet and sit down and just commune with him. But we are so busy. That alarm clock goes off, starts slugging down the coffee, and try to make it through the day and drop into bed at night and go do the next thing the next day. God wants us to be still. God wants us to be busy about people. It's a balance. I want to think about the Christian soldier. 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You look at yourself as a soldier. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Few key points there. There is a spiritual battle, and it requires endurance at hard times. And the Christian life will take some long hours, and we will have to do some sacrificing, but we must never, ever get to the point that that's our daily diet, and we're running around crazed. We must find time to be quiet for our own sanity. We're not to get so entangled with this life that it becomes a snare. Maybe we have volunteered for too many things. Learn to say no. Listen, you're only limited. You're human. I'm human. We can only do so much. I'd read an article by a pastor, and he used these two verses, Proverbs 22:3 and 27:12. They're basically the same thing. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. And you see that again in 27:12, both of them. And he was actually writing that letter to pastors saying, using the evil was, you can get yourself so busy, you're going to burn out. And you better foresee the evil and start to learn to say no sometimes. I can't do it. If I am going to finish this race in the long haul, the endure, run with patience, I'm going to have to learn to pace myself. He says, you're going to have to learn to foresee and hide. I'm going to get away from that. Look what Paul said in Ephesians 6:11 to the Christian soldier. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, put on. There's a time to prepare. Put on the whole armor of God. That's going to take some quiet time to get ready. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're wrestling. A very demanding endeavor in life. And he says, you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's not about your abilities. It's about your relationship with God. You better have your spiritual armor on. But how many times do we run around life like it all depends upon us and how busy we are? Oh, and if I don't get this done and this done and this done and this done, you know what? You could probably list your to-do list and say, they are all valid. But I'm only limited. I can't do all that. We wrestle not. We better get ready to wrestle, because a Christian soldier, it is going to be a contest. So there's a time to prepare. There's a time to wrestle. Look at verse 13. There's a time to stand. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having your breastplate of righteousness. There's a time to prepare, there's a time to wrestle, there's a time to stand. In verse 18, there's a time to pray. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. You're going to have to endure, and supplication for all saints. I want us to reflect on the importance of being quiet and prayer. Pray! Pray! Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, had to get alone and pray. Matthew 14:23. And when he, Jesus, had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. He had to get away. And when the even was come, he was there alone. Jesus Christ had the most important job this universe will ever know. And he found time to be quiet. I don't see anywhere where Jesus Christ was running around, throwing things, throwing a temper tantrum, and yelling at everybody because he was so frazzled. Look at Matthew 26:36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. The very night before the crucifixion, he said, I got to pray. I need to be alone. You guys stay here. I'm going to go be alone and pray. He didn't say, I've got to hurry up and do this, and I've got to get over here and do that. I've got to pray. Can I remind you, Luke 22:44, as Jesus prayed, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. The battle was fought in prayer. Jesus Christ did not sweat drops of blood before Pontius Pilate. How often we minimize the power of prayer. The battle was won in prayer. He simply went out and claimed the victory afterwards. Please do not ever underestimate the power of prayer. It moves the hand of Almighty God. Jesus Christ did not sweat drops of blood before Herod. He did it in prayer. And yet how many times do we have sweet minute of prayer? We cannot hurry through and ignore our relationship with God. I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me. Abide, just abide there. And I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me you can do nothing. Be quiet. We are so busy. We are so busy. What's the first thing you jettison? Morning devotions. You lust, you have not, you kill and desire to have, you cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. They were busy. They were killing. They desired. They fight. They had war. They didn't pray. Too busy with all the other things. Just ask. We are so busy. Life is all about God, folks. It's not about us anyway. Have you figured that out? The problem is that most people don't see a real need, honestly, to get involved with God. I have got work to do for God. I don't have time. Something's flawed in that thinking. I'm not saying not to do anything. Jesus Christ did not rebuke the disciples for being so busy that there were many coming and going. It was an honorable thing. He said, now it's time to get away. Not everybody's going to be a pastor, but everybody should be developing a solid relationship with God. But too often we're too busy. We're entangled with this life and we forgot the one who saved our soul. We start to live life as if it depended upon us. Be still and know that I am God. Neglect is enough to ruin a man. A man who is in business need not commit forgery or robbery to ruin himself. He has only to neglect his business, and his ruin is certain. A man who is lying on a bed of sickness need not cut his throat to destroy himself. He has only to neglect the means of restoration, and he will be ruined. A man floating in a skiff above Niagara need not move an oar or make an effort to destroy himself. He has only to neglect using the oar at the proper time, and he will certainly be carried over the edge. Most of the calamities of life are caused by simple neglect. How would you like it if God was as faithful to you as you are to him? Ouch. What if God will not hear us today because we would not listen and obey him yesterday? What if God answered our prayers the way we answer his call to obedience? What if God was too busy? Unfortunately, some marriages fail due to neglect. Likewise, many believers fail due to neglect. We didn't set out to forsake the Lord, but day after day, it's not a priority. Day after day. And then one day we wake up and say, how did I get here? How did I get here? Point is, we do reap what we have sown. God is merciful, but we do reap what we have sown. If we neglect our walk with him, we will suffer. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Are we too busy? Are we neglecting God? God says, you're going to reap it. No, we may not have gone out and murdered or committed some heinous crime, but we neglected. And it finally took its toll. I met a man last week that I have known for now many years. He works down at the Pacific Garden Mission. He grew up in the city of Chicago, grew up in a Christian school, active in church, sang in the choir. Somewhere in his early teen years, got in with the wrong group. Finally, it ended up he's in Cook County Jail. And he told me, as he was telling the story, he said, "I'm sitting in a jail cell, and there's a Bible. And I said to myself, what am I doing here? What am I doing here?" He's now a pastor, and he works at the mission, and he can relate to those street guys. He says, "Don't do what I've done. What if God was as faithful to us as we are to Him?" A missionary was leaving for a faraway destination. As he was saying his goodbyes, a gentleman came up and gave him an envelope. And he said, "When it all seems lost, when it seems that God is not there, when you're at the end of your rope, open this envelope." Many, 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 many years later, he came back. The envelope was never opened because he never got to the end of his rope. God was always there. He never felt forsaken. "I don't need that envelope. My God was faithful." God does not ask how many talents we have. He asks for our faithfulness. And we get so busy, we forget the quiet time. We forget to talk with Him and pray about our burdens and our cares. It keeps our focus. Life's not about us. It's about Him and His will and His purposes. And when we're in tune with those and our prayers are in tune with those, watch things happen. The problem is we want to consume it upon our lust. And we're not focused on the things of God, and things aren't happening. At least good things aren't happening. We must have our quiet time. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, had to get alone. We must have time with the Lord to balance out the times when there are so many coming and going, there's no leisure so much as to eat. Yes, there are times, Christian, we will be busy. You go back to the nation of Israel. And when they got into the promised land under Joshua, they set up camp there at Gilgal. And it seems for about 5 years, the men were exceedingly busy conquering 31 kings. And then they came home. There will be times we're going to be very busy, and there's going to be times we need to go home. There's a time to be busy, and there's a time to get some rest. It's a vital part of Christianity. Fortunately, our God is faithful, and we can call on Him. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful. God is faithful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, you're a whole lot more faithful to me than I'll ever be to you. And He's there, ever ready to hear our cry. Old Faithful is a geyser located in Wyoming in Yellowstone National Park. It was named in 1870 during the Washburn-Langford-Doan Expedition and was the first geyser in the park to receive its name. It is also called the most predictable geographical feature on Earth, erupting almost every 91 minutes. The geyser, as well as the nearby Old Faithful Inn, is part of the district there. Old Faithful is sometimes degraded by being made a laundry. Garments placed in the crater during the quiescence are ejected, thoroughly washed when the eruption takes place. General Sheridan's men in 1882 found that linen and cotton fabrics were uninjured by the action of the water, but woolen clothes were torn to shreds. But the point is, the world recognizes an Old Faithful. But let's recognize the God of Old Faithful, who cannot fail. He is there, waiting to give us private lessons, private time, tailored for us whenever we call. Let's not get too busy for Him. Where does it all begin? It begins at salvation. Let that hand represent every person. Let it represent you. Let it represent me. Let that billfold represent sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we die with this sin on us, we will be separated from God throughout all eternity, and God is not willing that any should perish. He knows there's nothing that we can do in our flesh to get rid of that sin. In His love, He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that hand represent Jesus. Born of a virgin, lived the perfect life, and yet was the Lamb of God. He willfully went to the cross and became sin for you. He took your sin, my sin. He paid sin's debt. He gave up the ghost, but because he was perfect, he could rise again, paid in full. How do you go to heaven? When you realize in the quietness of your mind, I get it. God knows that I'm a sinner and there's nothing I can do to get rid of it. I get it. I used to think my good works could get rid of that sin. I used to think walking an aisle, raising my hand, getting water baptized, communion, church membership, whatever you thought, I thought I could do it. The truth is I can't, because salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. And I realize I have to put my faith in the work of redemption done by the only one that could satisfy sin's debt, Jesus Christ. I put my faith in his work and Jesus Christ alone. That gets me to heaven. For God so loved the world, but he hated the sin, that he gave his only begotten Son to take and pay the sin debt of the world, that whosoever, whichever sinner, believes in his work of redemption shall not perish, but have everlasting life. How do you go to heaven? Believe in the work of redemption. It's not your good works and Jesus, it's Jesus alone.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.